Okay, so in terms of the inyan of the Yonta Sheni, let's take up a side point for a minute. I don't know, it's something like that. It's hard for me to get a handle on the whole on the sugya. So let's see. Let's take up the side question over here of Ravasi. Right. The question is, what's confusing about the whole sugya, and we'll see. There's a big ritva in the beginning of Lulav Arava, where he tries to figure out historically what did they know and when did they know it. And when did they change? Because it's very confusing historically what happened over here, right? I mean, there was a point where they had. Did you do the further in Beitza? A little further, we're quoting more in Rosh Hashanah. Because initially they used to send signals, like a smoke signal, fire signals, and they were able to transmit the message of when Rosh Chodesh was, fairly quickly, over great distances, right? So at that point, there was no Yonta Sheni. Then, it says the Kusim would make fake signals, right? They would make fake signals and confuse the people that were relying on those signals. So then they decided to send messengers to relay the message, right? And then, but then it came out that imposed a great restriction on distance and time, because the signals were traveling at the speed of light. The messengers far slower. So then it became, you had to differentiate places that the messengers were able to reach and places the messengers were not able to reach. Right? And wherever the messengers, that's what Rashi says in the beginning, right? The B'nai Gullios doesn't mean, Shel Gullios doesn't mean Kedushas Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. Right? It's a practical matter of how far the Shluchim are able to reach. That's why it's not a very popular thing to talk about, but even in Eretz Yisrael, according to some Shitas, the Rambam, if they were far away, or if there was no shluchim never got there, you would keep 2 days yantif too. So exactly. So that was the beginning over there. Then at some point, then there are two things that occurred. There are two factors that we have to keep in mind when we're going through this. One is, like Rashi says, even in the time where they had the shluchim, it was still possible to have someone who had a great knowledge of astronomy. Okay, you have to realize when they were going by the Kiddush al Piaria, so that's what they relied on essentially. And very few people knew how to calculate the astronomy of when the moon would be visible. The new moon would be visible. It's not an easy calculation. Try to go through some of those Rambams over there. So they were really mainly relying on the Re'iya. But there were great Chachamim, like Ravasi, right, who were able to know when the moon would really be visible. Okay. And it seems that they could rely on that. That they had a right to rely on that. So even when there were shluchim being sent out, this still was possible for people far away to have tremendous astronomical knowledge and know to a great degree of certainty when the chodesh really was, whether it was a mali or a chaser. So we have to deal with those people. What would those people do in the Gullus, right? Could they behave differently? And then finally is the question, when they eventually turned over from the Re'iya to the Kiddush HaChodesh, to the perpetual Kiddush HaChodesh, to the to the luach, then there's a final question of what happened to the Bnei Gola. What do we do then? Okay, so it's something that's difficult to figure out, and the chronology is also a little bit unclear. It seems for the most part, the consensus from what I've seen is that it was the Hillel the Amora who instituted the system that we're in now. And he was very late. I mean, he was after Abaye and Rava. Question is Abaye and Rava themselves. That seems to be a little bit unclear. It seems like some of the Rishonim consider Abaye and Rava. What stage of history are Abaye and Rava in? I mean, maybe it's not totally clear. So, if you look straight in terms of the dates, they would have been before. But when you read some of the Rishonim, it seems like they're considering them to have been after. So we have to keep all these things in mind. So that's part of the confusion in this sugya over here. Got to figure out what it was initially. Who did it apply to exactly? And what happened when they changed it over? Okay? All right. Those are the things that Rishonim are worried about. Because if you look at Rashi, Rashi never says anything in the Rashis that we're doing over here about the Kiddush hour calendar system. He just talks about somebody being a great Chacham who could figure it out. Right. Okay. See, like Rashi says, you didn't do it a little further. In other words, like the Gemara says over here, it says, So like our Gemara over here, and then a little further on Dalar and Beis, it says, Amar Bezer, Kavosei de Ravasi Mestava, Deho Idno Yodinan Bekviyosa Bekviyo de Yarcha. Right? Rav Zera said, it makes sense like Ravasi. Meaning to say what? That it's like one long day. One second. Why? Because we know the Kviyas Diyarcha. And we still do 2 days. So Rashi says, we know the Kviyas Diyarcha, meaning Ayide Chezbon, Shemachashvin told us so. Right? Now, we know how to figure out when the new moon will appear. Doesn't mean we're Bekiyas and Bekviyas Diyarcha. Doesn't mean that we're Mekash Ayide Haluach. There's no big Bekiyas in that. You just open the turn the calendar and see what's what, right? So at this point, it implies over here, according to this Rashi, I mean, he's saying that if they would know astronomically, they would not need the shluchim. So that's his right. So as you see, the Ravasi must be right that they instituted this 2 days, because even though we know, we still do 2 days, right? If it was just because of a suffix, then once we know, that would be enough. But like I said, let's take a side issue first. Then we'll come back to the main question of this. Take the side issue of how do you treat each day? How do you treat each day? You'll see. I mean, the river brings back this subject. Can't get too far without coming into the question of the history. But the question is, when you do 2 days. Yeah, you're going to have situations where one day is going to contradict, where you're going to have an overlapping and a contradictory behavior on a single day. So how do we treat those days? How do we do two things that are contradictory? Right, like Shvi Shel Pesach and Shmini Atzeres. Shvi Shel Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres. It's overlapping. Yeah. All right, just to get a historical perspective here. Who is this Hillel that we're talking about? See, it says over here, Kviyas Harluach. It says over here. This Hillel is the great grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. Okay. Yeah. So he was a contemporary of, let's see, like he's a little bit after Abaye and Rava. That's what I say. It's not clear if Abaye and Rava were before or after the Luach. So he was in 4100. Okay. And the Stima Sashas was about 100 years after. Ravina Ravashi, about 100 years after. So for a long time, they did not have the Luach. Rav and Shmuel, they did not have the Luach. Rabbi Yochanan, okay? It's important to keep in mind Rabbi Yochanan. They did not have the Luach. Okay, so let's take this, so let's take a look at the Gemara in Sukkah. Okay, so this is the sugya over here of what to do on Shemini Atzeres, right? Okay, so let's take a look over here. Let's take a look. Mem vav amud beis. It starts with mem vav amud beis, really. Okay, at the bottom, goes like this. Amar Rav Yehuda Berei de Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas Mishmei de Rav. Okay, so this goes back to Rav. Shmini Sofek Shvi. So let's say we have in Chutz Laaretz, you have Shvi, like we have Shvi and Sofek Shvi, Sofek Shmini. I mean, sorry, Shmini Sofek Shvi. Right, we according to the count, we have like our Shmini Atzeres, right? Our Shmini Atzeres is also could be this last day of Sukkos. Could be Shvi, right? Because the first day of Sukkos is maybe the first day, maybe the day before the first day, right? Second day is maybe the second day, maybe the first day. By the time you get to Shmini, it's Shmini's maybe Shvi. Okay, so what do? Shvi'i l'sukkah v'shmini l'bracha. That's the first way. And then Rav says it's shvi'i l'sukkah and shmini for the bracha. So Rashi says shvi'i l'sukkah k'dem mefarish l'olakamen. Shmini l'bracha she'omer b'tfila u'birkas ha'mazon v'kiddush es yom ha'shmini chag atzeres hazeh. So the first pshat is that what? It's shvi for the sukkah, which is not clear what that means right now, but it's shmini for all the brachos. So you make kiddush, you mazkir shmini in the tefilos, and the birkas hamazon. That's Rav. Rabbi Yochanan Omar shmini lezeh ulezeh. And Rabbi Yochanan says it's shmini for both. Okay. Af le'inyan sukkah havi shmini. Gemara is going to explain what this machlokus really means in a minute. Okay, that's Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav says it's Shmini Shvi for the sukkah and Shmini Lebracha, and Rabbi Yochanan says it's Shmini for both. Mesiv Kuli Alma Lo Pligi Diasvinan. So now the Gemara explains. What does it mean? They're arguing in terms of sitting. Everybody agrees you sit. Okay. Ki Pligi Livruchi. They're only arguing about the bracha. Okay, Rashi. Kuli alma lo pligi diasvinan besukkah. Bishmini sofek shvi. Va'afilu l'Rabbi Yochanan damar shmini lezeh ulezeh. Right? So even when Rabbi Yochanan said it's shmini for both, for bracha and sukkah, he didn't mean that you don't sit in the sukkah. He definitely meant you sit in the sukkah. Okay? What are they arguing about? They're only arguing about the bracha. Which bracha? The bracha of leishev basukkah. Okay. Leman damar shvi'i lesukkah bruchi nami mevarchinan. So if you're going to learn, like, so when Rav says it's shmini, it's, what do I say? Leman damar shvi'i lesukkah. According to Rav, who says it's shvi'i lesukkah, so he would sit in the sukkah and make a leishev. Lemandam or shmini lezeh ulezeh bruchi lomavarchinan. But if you say shmini for both, it means even though you sit in the sukkah, you don't make the bracha. Okay. Bruchi lomavarchinan, Rashi says, Dishminihu. Vain shame sukos olav. Yep. And because it's Shemini and there's no shame sukkah. So how can you make a bracha on yeshiva sukkah? V'hainu l'zeh l'zeh l'sukkah d'lo mvarchinan l'vracha es yom Shemini atzeres hazeh. So what does it mean it's Shemini for sukkah and for bracha? It means it's Shemini for sukkah, so you don't make a bracha on the sukkah. And it's Shemini l'bracha means you make the brachos of yom ha-Shemini chag atzeres hazeh. Okay, that's the first way, right? That everybody agrees you sit. The only machlokus is about the bracha. Om Rav Yosef, nekot Rav Yochanan biyodcha. You should do like Rav Yochanan. What was Rav Yochanan's shita again? That you sit and you don't make the bracha, right? The Rav Huna bar Bizna v'chol gedolei ador iklu besukah b'shmini safek shvi mesev haviyasvi yasvi bruchi lo bruchi. So, because it happened, all the Gedolei Ador, one sukkah, came to the sukkah, and they sat on Shemini, but they didn't make a bracha, right? So you can't get a better right than that. All the Gedolei Ador were there, right? Okay. She says, no, maybe they hold like the other shita. They only make the bracha once. So there's no raya that they didn't make a bracha on Shemini that they hold. There's no bracha on Shemini. Maybe they're of the opinion, there's a sheet like that, that says you only make the bracha the first time you sit in the sukkah. And then the rest, you don't make a bracha. Okay. So the Gemara says, no. Because Gemiri, de me'efer asu. We have a tradition that they came from the fields. Because they were watching their animals the whole time, and they hadn't sat in the sukkahs the entire yantif. All the Gedolei Ador. Okay? A little different than Gedolei Ador back then. they had to watch the animals in the fields. So anyway, so that's a raya that this was their first time in the sukkah. And they didn't make the bracha, so you see clearly they held, you sit in the sukkah and Shemini, but you don't make a bracha. Okay? All right. Now, Ika de Amri, Bruchi Kuli Alma Lo Pligi de Lom Varchinan. So we go with the Ika de Amri. That what? Everybody really agrees there's no bracha. Ki Pligi Lemesav. They're only arguing about sitting. Limanda Omar Shvi'i L'sukkah. So that's Rav Mesav Yasvinan. Then you sit in the sukkah. Ulimanda Omar Shmini L'zeh L'zeh as Rabbi Yochanan Mesav Nami Lo Yasvinan. Okay. So then that's the machlokas. So according to the first way of learning, everybody holds you sit. The only question is, do you make a bracha? Right? According to the second way of learning, no, everybody holds that you don't make a bracha. The only question is, do you sit? Okay? Rav says you sit, and Rav Yochanan says you don't. So now the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yosef, Nikot, the Rav Yochanan, Biyodcha. Demari de Shmaita, Mani, Rav Yehuda, Beda Rav, Shmuel, Bar Shelas, Ubishmini, Safek Shvi, Levar Misukka Yosef. All right, but anyway, the Gemara says the Hilchasa Mesav Yasvin and Bruchel and Rachina. Okay, so the Hilchasa is like Rav. It's like is like the Ikad Amri of Rav. Right, that you sit but you don't make a bracha. Right, unless you're Chasidish. So that's the Gemara. Okay. Yeah. So now. You take a look at the, I didn't tell you to look at the riff, but take a look at the riff. The riff says like this. The riff says, He says like this: Le'inyan mesa basuka baches hilchasa mesa yasvinan bruchi lo mevarchinan. Right? The hilchasa is that we sit but we don't make the bracha. V'hainu time ad lo mevarchinan kevan de shmi de yom shmi yatzerasu v'lo de lo efshel of bruchi leishe basuka de sasru ahadadi. So the Rif says, why don't we make the bracha on Shmini Atzeres? Because we can't. Because since it's Shmini Atzeres, you can't say Leishev Basuka. Because it's a stira. I Yom Sukahu Lav Shmini Atzeresu. V'i Shmini Atzeresu Lav Yom Sukahu. So if you sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres and you say Leishev Basuka, that's a contradiction to the Yom Shmini. Okay. Umishum de Masafkalom Batirvaihu of Dina Lukhumra. And since we don't know which one, since we're Masupik about which one is which, we do Lukhumra. So what's the Khumra? Yasvinan Vilomavarchinan. We sit because of Safek Shvi, but we don't make the bracha, because the bracha would be negating Shmini. So in order to be noeg both, we have to sit and not make the bracha. V'noagin bo minag yom tov du yom shmini atzeres v'avdinan l'chumro. Okay, that's what the Rif says. So the Ritva, let's take a look at the Ritva. The Ritva tries to work out the Rif a little differently than he sounds at first blush. Yeah. So let's take a look at the Ritva. Who's got the Ritva? Okay. So the Ritva says like this. Ika d'amri bruchi kul yama lo pligi d'lo mvarchinan. Besukka b'shmini l'did dun. So on Sukkos, on our Shmini, right? Everybody agrees that you don't make the bracha. Ki pligi b'mesav, right? The only argument is sitting. Rav sovar mesav mia yazvinan. Rabbi Yochanan sovar mesav nami lo yazvinan. T'miya milsal Rabbi Yochanan. So now the Ritva says, it's a big question on Rabbi Yochanan. Heichi efsha delo yasvinan besukka b'shmini? How is it possible that Rabbi Yochanan said, don't sit in the sukkah on Shmini? Dekevan desofek shvi'ihu havala sveika doraisa ulechumra. Right? How could Rabbi Yochanan say, don't sit in the sukkah at all on Shmini? It's a chiyuv d'oraisa on the sukkah, in the sukkah on Shvi'i of Sukkos. And since we don't know if this is Shvi'i of Sukkos or not, because we're mistaken about the count, so there's a chiyuv d'oraisa to sit in the sukkah. You don't want to make the bracha? Fine, don't make the bracha. But there's a chiyuv d'oraisa to sit in the sukkah, right? Good question. Okay. V'yesh lomar d'chi lo yodi b'kivu adi yarcha inachinami. This is where we gotta be really careful now. So he says, you're right. If we really didn't know which day was which, right? If we were not experts on the kviya di yarchi, the kviya di yarcha, then you're right. Dilakuli alma mesav yasvina. So already, we see that there are, you know, historical problems when we approach these sugyas. You have to know at what point these amoraim are dealing, right? At what point are they talking? Saying if Rav and Rav Yochanan were talking about the old days, when they were mevatel the fire signals, and they instituted the shluchim, and people really didn't know, right? Then there would have been no question. They wouldn't have been arguing like this. Then certainly Rabbi Yochanan would have admitted that you must sit in the sukkah on Shmini, because it's a safek d'oraisa, are you chayev to sit in the sukkah or not? Right? So it must be that what? Ki pligi bizman hazeh. When are they arguing? Nowadays. Diadinan bikivia diyarcha. Now also, what does he mean by bizman hazeh? What does he mean by bizman hazeh? Does he mean when he's writing? I mean, because now it's not a matter of being Bekiyin, it's not a matter of Yodu Bekavua Diyarcha, right? Bezman Hazeh, nobody knows anything about when the, nobody knows any of this stuff. You just look at the Luach and tells you what to do, right? So does he mean, and in their day, historically speaking, Rabbi Yochanan was way before the Luach, right? Yochanan is way before the Luach. So you see from him that what? You see from him that what? That even before the Luach was instituted, right? If a person really knew Alpi the Cheshbon on the Chachma, what they call the Sod HaIbor, if a person really knew the way to figure it out, it's considered like he knows which day is which. Right? So this whole idea of the Sveika Diyoma really only came about in a certain situation where people did not have the mathematical knowledge yet, or it wasn't widespread, and the shluchim, and they had to rely on the shluchim. It's not really a matter of whether there was a kiddush hachodesh al pi ha-re'iya versus a luach. It's a matter, even when it was al pi ha-re'iya, it had to do with whether you knew, and you had a right to go by that knowledge. So anyway, so he's saying, therefore he's saying that Rabbi, and it seems from the Ritva, he's saying there's no difference between them in a period of time where they knew the when the Chodesh was new, and us that were going al pi haluach. It doesn't sound like he's making any differentiations between the two.
Is the Yad-Inan saying that like it was prevalent that people would know?
Right, in Rabbi Yochanan, it sounds like he's saying in Rabbi Yochanan's day it was already prevalent. In Rabbi Yochanan's day it was already prevalent. I mean, when is Rabbi Yochanan? You got him. See, Shmuel, the Gemara has stories about Shmuel. Shmuel was like a tremendous bucky in astronomy, right? We do. I think it came first in Erevin somewhere. He said, I know the path of the heavens as well as I know the path of the streets in the town. So yeah, it would seem that it was prevalent, at least in their communities. I mean, I don't think it was prevalent among the Hamonam. But I guess there were the Chacham in I mean, Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael, but he's talking about the situation in Chutz Lartz. I guess in Bavel they knew. Anyhow, so it says like this. So he says, so therefore, what's the story? Really, they're talking about the time that they know already. Right? Velo of Dinan Trey Yomi Ela Mishum Minag Avosenu. So at this point, he's saying, why are they doing 2 days if they know? Right? Why are they doing 2 days if they know? So they're doing 2 days as a minug. The second day is really minug. Right? Like Rashi said for Ravasi, that when the Gemara assumed that Ravasi was holding that it was because of a suffik and making Havdalah, why was he doing 2 days? Because of minog. Okay, so that's what Ritva was saying over here. The state of affairs was they really knew which day was which, but they were keeping the second day for a minog. V'sova Rabbi Yochanan shafal pish avoseinu lo yodi bikviya diyarcha. Yosvi b'sukaches misveikas. Now it's fascinating. Now it's a fascinating question. When we have to do minug, so how far does that go? Right? We're replicating what they did. That's our minug, to do what they did. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's true, we have to do what they did. And there's no doubt that when they were in the situation of need, they sat in the sukkah on Shemini, right? Anon lo azlinan b'minog didhu baha. But we don't do their minog in this. Okay. Why? Ki hechi delo lizalzlu b'shmini shehu yom tov min ha-Torah lodun oso kishvi'i shehu chol v'yiyu makilin b'kidusha. So there have to be, there are still priorities over here. There are still priorities. It's very nice to be noheg something because of the way it was done, but you have to assess the damage it's gonna have. So if we know for sure, and there in those days each day was a true suffek d'oraisa, so they had no choice but to be noheg sitting in the sukkah on Shmini. They had no choice. So we take the minug of them, of keeping 2 days, but we cannot allow a minug to interfere with the real kiyum d'oraisa. So now we know that Shmini is the d'oraisa day, right? To sit in the sukkah on Shmini, Rabbi Yochanan held, would be mezalzel, the true day d'oraisa. So that's why he said, even though we keep the Yom Tov Sheni as minug, we have to alter it to our as a minug, it can't interfere with the Raisa. Right?
What's the minug of Yom Tov?
The minug was to continue the practice of 2 days of Yom Tov.
They were talking about in regards to Shmini Atzeres.
So the minhag was that since we kept 2 days of Yontif Rishon for Sukkos, so you can have 2 days of Yontif of Shvi. Oh, you mean how would they be knowing it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so you're right. I mean, in this case, for Shvi, it would just have to be, you're right. For Shvi of Sukkos, it would basically be gone. You're right. It's a good point. There would be no expression of Shvi of Sukkos. But you're still going to keep the minhag of 2 days of Yontif Rishon. And you're just going to have to drop out this element of the minhag. So the minhag is going to be somewhat inconsistent, right?
What's the value of being noheg, what they did?
That's the Gemara, we'll get to that. That's our Gemara and Beta. It's the end of that, that's the end of the daf, the Gemara talks about that. And the Ritva goes into it more in the beginning of this parak. But, so that's what Rabbi Yochanan held. Right? And what did Rav hold? The Rav Sovar de Kevan de below Brocha Yasvinan Bo Haminkra Milsa She'eno Shvi Mamish Elasafik. She'eno Shvi Mamish Elasafik. Velo Yizalzlu Bikidushaso. So Rav held that you can sit in the sukkah. Why? Because since we're not making a bracha, since you're not making a bracha, that shows you what? It's going to
be clear
that what?
It's not really the seven.
But what does he say? What does he say? That's clear. She'ena shvi'i mamish ella suffik. Right? That's what's interesting. He says, in other words, he holds, you can keep the minug, but the minug is to keep treating it like a suffik. Right? So he's saying the fact that you're not making a bracha indicates that you're not. No, he's saying the only problem would be to make a bracha on it, because a bracha would indicate that it's really shvi. A person thinks to himself that it's really shvi, then he's going to be mezalzel in shmini. But as long as he doesn't make the bracha, then he's mindful of the fact that we're doing this not because it's really Shmini. And once he knows that, then he's going to keep Shmini. All right, so can we define this machlokas? Tough to define something like this. Machlokas, right? Whatever the exact definition is, his main point is that what? That they're only arguing in terms of zilzul Shmini. Right? That's the nature of their machlokas. The nature of the machlokas is, will it be a zilzul to sit or not, since you're not making a bracha? Now someone's asking, do you have that idea where we're treating it differently is a hecker? So there's a Gemara, I think it's in the beginning of Shabbos, says that midrabanan, we treat glass like cheres in terms of tumah. Okay. There's certain cases in tumah where we make zeres midrabanan on certain objects, so it should be like it should be tame midrabanan. But the Gemara says it's not treated consistently. I think the thing is it's mitame from the outside, even though cheres is not from the outside. So the Gemara says, why do we do that? So people know it's only drabanan, because it's important to know it's only drabanan, so you don't burn truma. Now, so if someone's mitame, let's say truma midaraisa, you can burn it. But if it's only a tumah midrabanan, you can't burn it. So they formulated the sometimes they formulate things in the drabanan with a hecker that it's not, that it's different from the deraisa, in order to know that it's only drabanan. So he's saying over here, the fact that he's sitting and not making the bracha already is a chiluk. For every day he's been making a bracha in the sukkah, now he sits and doesn't make a bracha. So that's enough of a hecker, Rav held, he held as long as he's not continuing when he sits in the sukkah, as long as he's not continuing his yeshiva from chol, that's enough for him to realize that it's Yom Tov. Now, that would be the machlokas over here. I mean, that's the question over here. It sounds like it's a judgment call, but that's the question over here. The problem is he's continuing something from chol. I mean, chol hamoed. So onto Yom Tov Shmini, onto Shmini, which is a chag b'sne'atzmo. So the question is that going to create a problem if he's having a carryover behavior from chol into the Yom Tov? Is that going to be mezalzel in the Yom Tov? So Rav Yochanan said it is. Just the kvius alone is a problem. If I'm still koveya on Shmini in the same kvius as Sukkos, that itself, in terms of the mice of the Gavra, kvius of Sukkos on Shmini is already going to create a zilzal. It's already going to open up the door for the person associating today with yesterday, because he's continuing what he was doing yesterday today, and yesterday was Chol. And there's no inyan of Sukkos on Shmini, right? There's no such holiday as Simchas Torah, right? That's not a separate holiday. It's just the second day of Shmini Atzeres. It's not like Shmini Atzeres has one halacha and and then Simchas Torah is no sukkah. There wasn't such a. Now we have like 2 days in the end. Now we have like two distinct days in our minds. Right. But in terms of. But that was Rabbi Yochanan's concern. But Rav held, as long as you break some element of what he was doing yesterday, then he'll consider it like a new thing. And he'll realize that it's not a continuation, but it's some combination of the Kedusha Siyom of Shmini and the Suffolk of Shvi. Right? That was the Machlokas. If the Iker Asiya is continued, is there Chashash that he's going to engage in behavior with that Iker that's in line with that Kvius? In other words, continue his behavior like Chalamoy. Or is it enough to have a hecker? I don't know exactly how you define that. I mean, is that a... I don't know how you define that. Right? That's possible. All right, so we have someone who wants to try to define it. That what? That's a question of what zilzal you're worried about. So what does he say? He says in the first half where he says he's worried, he says what? Ki hechi delo lizalzalu b'shmini shehu yomtum min haTorah Lodun oso kishvi'i shehu chol v'yihu makilin b'kidushaso. Okay, that's one possibility. I mean, that's just the sitting will do that. And when he says, and when Rav says it's okay because he's a hecker, he says that what? Hamin per milsa shena shvi mamish elisofik v'lo yizalzlu b'kidushaso. So you're going to have to say that what? That everybody knows, everybody agrees, by not making the bracha, it's going to be nikkur that it's a safek. But if a person is on Shmini with an idea of Shvi, is that itself some sort of a zilzal. Okay, so then he says like this. V'zeh siyua l'rabbeinu alfasizal. He says this idea of the machlokas in Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, that they're concerned with the question of the zilzal, is a good raya to the riff. Shekosav the time of the lom vachinan b'shmini b'sukkah mishum d'asi lezilzuli b'shmini. It's interesting. I mean, the riff doesn't say that. It's interesting how he interprets the riff that way, right? B'shmini. The same thing. So he, because the riff says, because if you would make a bracha, it would be a tar to the sasri. Right? The riff said, if you'd make a bracha, that's a tar to the sasri, because if it's shmin, if it's sukkos, then it's not shmini atzeres. If it's shmini atzeres, it's not sukkos. Right? So we have to do both l'chumra. So we sit and we don't make a bracha. But he's saying that that's what the riff really means. He's saying, because if you would make a bracha, then from the tzad of making the bracha, you would be negating shmini. Right? From the tzad of making the bracha, that would be like a negation of shmini. That, as a maisa, is a maisa of zilzal. To make a bracha, right, to make a bracha would definitely, would be a maisa of zilzal. So the question also is, when it says Kadesh lo yizalzlu, is it talking about the thing itself would be a zilzal? Or they're worried that if you do this, then you're going to do malacha. Right? Like we said by muktzah, we said we're more machmir by muktzah on Yom Tov than we are on Shabbos. Right? Why? He says, because Shabbos to chamira v'lo asa lezilzuli ba. Right? But Yom Tov is kiel asi lezilzuli be. So there, asi lezilzuli be means you're going to do malacha. Means that Yom Tov intrinsically has a problem. Since it has heter of some malacha, a person's more likely to be lax in malacha in general in Yom Tov, because there already is some sort of a heter. So that's why we were more machmir by muktz on Yom Tov, right? But that asi lezilzuli be means a real something will happen. We're worried that something is going to. Rashi says, "Ima kilin ba chadakula lo asi lekuli ba tfei." That's by Shabbos. But by Yom Tov itself, it needs a chizuk, because it already has a kula in it of heter malacha. Question is over here, what do we mean over here? Asila Zilzulibe. Asila Zilzulibe seems like it's not. Asila Zilzulibe seems that it's really like a chashash, that the person's going to be more lax.
What's the other option?
That it's like a maisa of degrading the day. Like if I'm on Shmini Atzeres and I call it Sukkos, that's like itself is a problem.
But isn't Asu always referring to something that's going to be in the future?
That's true. It means mashmalah. But what does the riff say? The riff says, why can't you do it? Why don't you make a bracha? He doesn't sound like an asu. He just says, because it's a tar to the sasri. Right? He just says, lo efshel levruchi leishiv besukkah, desasru adadi. I yom sukkahu, lav shmini atzeresu. Vi shmini atzeresu, lav yom sukkahu. Right? He just says it's like an intrinsic problem. When the Ritva quotes him, right, he says, Shekosav, the time of the Lom Vachin B'Shmini B'Sukkah Mishum D'Asu L'Zilzuli B'Ches. I mean, I don't think he had a different gears than the Riff. Maybe he did. No, it sounds like, I mean, the Ran sounds like he also says, Ki hechid lo lisi lizuzuli biyom tov, v'kach pirushar al-fasizal. Are there two gears in the riff? I mean, is he? That's the question. Is he just interpreting? I mean, the riff says it's tarti the sastri. Is he saying tarti the sastri is only a problem because if you do something that's sosa the shmini, then it's asi the zulzuli. That sounds like the way he's interpreting the riff, right? Tarti the sastri is not a problem because each day we choose a suffix. But the problem is. The problem is, it's going to ask you this azuli. Okay. So then we come out to the riff saying there are three levels, right? If you did the maisa with the bracha, then everybody would agree, then even Rav would recognize that's a problem of ask you this azuli. Right? To do the maisa without the bracha is the question. Do you say that since it's already indicating that it's not the Vaday Shmini, that itself is enough to mitigate the problem of Asi L'Zulzuli? And Rav held, no, any continuation of the prior action would be a problem. I'm sorry, that's for Yochanan. Yochanan, any continuation would be a problem. Okay. Okay, so now this is like this. So that's how he interprets the riff. Now he's like this. V'hochi, he says, V'yei shehikshu alav. Right? Some people ask on the riff. Lama li mehai taimo. Why does the riff say not to make the bracha because of asi l'zilzule? Typically, the ha kosav ihu gabi orla kvusha. V'hochanami savri ruba deravasa. De kol sofik mitzvah deraisa de bracha dida derabanan. Chozev osa hamitzvah misafek v'havisafek adaraisa ve'ena chozev mevarach davisafek drabanon kidar minim bebrachos v'safek kar kriyashma. That's according to the sheet of the kriyashma as the drabanon v'safek kar emes v'yatziv u'bedaraisa chozev v'dron ein chozev u'birka sukkah drabanon b'shmini shehu safek u'birka sukkah drabanon kama b'shvi shehu safek ein lo lachzer levarach. Okay, so some ask a powerful question on the riff. They say, what are you telling me? Don't make a bracha on the sukkah because there'll be a tarti desasri. No, we have a much simpler reason why not to make a bracha. Because we have a klal. On a suffik drabanan, we don't make a bracha when it's a suffik midrabanan. It's not the right way to put it exactly. But it means it like this. That every bracha is just a chi of what? Drabanan. Right? A birkas, a mitzvah is a chi of drabanan. Right? So let's say I have a situation where I have a suffik and a mitzvah midaraisa. Does anybody know what the case he's talking about? Yeah. It means that the child is born, a boy is born, and it looks like he already has no arla. But it's possible that it's kvusha, that it's very fine, and it's hard to tell. Okay? So, in that case, they do hatafas dam bris, whatever it is. They do something over there. So, but it's a suffix if it's considered a real maisa of mila. So you don't do it on Shabbos, for instance. So the riff says you do it, quotes the Gaonim, you do the mila, but you don't make a bracha. Right? Well, like I think the Ramez case, androgynous. You do the mila, but you don't make a bracha. Because it's a suffix. Right? Aye, but the mitzvah is a daraisa, and you're doing the mitzvah because of a suffix daraisa. But since the bracha is a chig of midrabanan, so it's considered a suffix in a drabanan, and you don't make the bracha. That's the way the Rif paskins. Right? So, for instance, if it's a practical shaila, it's a very practical shaila. You're not sure if you did the lulav on Yontif. You're not sure if you did the lulav on the first day of Sukkot. So you go and you do it again, but the riff says, but you don't make a bracha the second time, or the possible second time, right? Because that's just the bracha is midrabanan, and it's a suffik in a chi of drabanan. Don't do it. Right? So why can't you just apply the same logic to the sukkah? What do you need to go and find me an idea of a problem of zilzul? You shouldn't make it by right, by on its own terms. You just shouldn't make the bracha because it's true. It might be even if you're going to say it's a suffik deraisa. Do I have to sit in the sukkah? So sit, but the bracha is not a suffik deraisa. Okay, we'll see. We'll see next after this. I told you that this is the machlokas. This is the machlokas if you make a bracha on the suffik deraisa. But that's the riff's own shita. So the riff should certainly apply it to here. So he says like this. Yeah. Lav milsi. So this is a silly question. This question doesn't make any sense. Shem kain heichan mevarchem mikachin biyom sheini shu safek. Says this is what they call the question. The question proves too much. This is the case where they say that the question proves too much, because if your question is really good, then you shouldn't make any brachas on Yantav Sheni. So you yourself admit already that you're making these brachas on Yantav Sheni. But according to your question, what are you picking on the bracha of Sukkah? According to your logic, you shouldn't make any brachas. Right? So what did this guy think? What did this guy think? He was a crazy man.
Do we know some of the Yeshis? Is it like a real, like a Rishon?
It was an anonymous letter someone sent to the Rif. He doesn't say. Does he say? V.H. Makshin, 239.
What's the question?
Who asked the question?
No. What's the question? Other
question.
What's the question that he was asking? What's the question?
Well, the question is, but you say Kiddush twice, right? And that's, let's say Kiddush is the Rebbe Aaron. Or you say, what else does he have? We make brachos, we daven with the same nusach. We may say it in Birkas Hamazon. It's interesting because that's a bit of a question: is Kiddush on Yom Tov deraisa or not? The bracha itself,
right?
Because Zachor Shabbos. But the Ritva seems to hold it is the Raisa. But maybe also the... Because he says over there by Rabbi Yossi that Havdalah was the Raisa. But anyway, okay. That's the question. So, but you can differentiate. You can differentiate between the two. Why? Because there's the Maksha. You can differentiate for the Maksha a little bit. Because that's a general idea. If you have a situation, we have two... Even if you have a situation of a Safek Drabanan, but you have two back-to-back sveikos, so that if you would go lakula on each one, you wouldn't do it at all. That's a different kind of a suffik drabana. Then we don't say suffik drabana and lakula on both, because then you'd never have the thing, right? So, for instance, if you have places that are a suffik, if it's a mukaf choma or not. So the question is, so you could say, well, each day it's a suffik, so I won't lane at all. I won't say the Megillah at all. Okay, that one is a little bit more controversial, but the Gemara says in Psachim that it's a question which kosos you do haseb on, right? The first two or the last two, right? Which kosos do you lean on? So therefore the Gemara says you do all four. So that's what the Rishonim explain over there, because if you would say safek drab, but it's only a chiv drabban. So if you say safek drabban lekula, you wouldn't have it at all. So in that type of situation, you don't say Safek Drabanan Lekula. You don't say Safek Drabanan Lekula to negate the mitzvah Drabanan entirely. You just say Safek Drabanan Lekula in a particular instance of the Drabanan. You understand the difference? Okay. So you could answer that for them over here. But anyway, but by the sukkah, you already made plenty of brachas on the sukkah. It's not a problem. But anyway, the he holds is not a good question. All right? So he says, why? Because how are you going to explain the fact that we make all brachos on 2 days of Yontif? When you say Shechianu twice, you write everything. He says, Ulefika, he says like this. So this is where he gives you important information. Ela sheyesh lecha lomar she'ein safek ze kishar sveikos. Right? The safek of Yom Tov Sheni, we don't treat like a regular safek. Shechachomim she'omru lanu lasos yom sheni, the chachomim who told us to do the second day, tiknu lanu shenevarech bo ki yom rishon. they were misakein for us that we have to make all of the brachos just like the first day. She'im lo nevarech unekadesh bo yizalzlu b'kedushaso. If we don't say kiddush on the second night and make all the brachos on the second day, it will lead to a zilzal of the kedusha. Ulefika chamar arif. Now, which chacham are those? That's also what's. Which chacham are those? Is he talking about? I guess he's talking about us, or is he talking about when they actually were knowing the suffix? It would seem even when they were knowing the suffix, they had to say this, right? Even initially, when they were really knowing the suffix. Ulefika chamar arif. Dekevan shekol ikar lo chayvunu chacham levarich al suffix yom sheni yoser mishas sveikos ela kadesh lo yizalzlu bekidushaso. So now the riff makes a lot of sense. He says, since why really you shouldn't make any brachas on the second day, let's say. Or at least bizman hazeh for us on the second day. Right? When we know the first day was the real day. So why did they say to make all of these brachos in order to prevent a zilzul in the kedusha?
Too many zilzulim going around.
So the whole reason of making the brachos in the first place is kedei shlo yizalzlu. Kedei isa b'perek b'mem adlikin l'gabi birkas. That's what the Gemara says over there. So then, legabi birka suka mukminan lo adina deshar sveiko shein levarich bo kideisha lo yizazlu biyom shmini. Der adrad ba iman mevarchim biyeshiva suka bishmini suffik shvi yizazlu bikushaso lo dunu kishvi shucho. So that's his end. I mean, see, it's an amazing thing, the way he's reading the riff. He's saying when the riff says don't make the bracha kideisha lo yizazlu, he's saying that the riff is really means to say that they left this bracha the way it should be treated, because to treat it the way they treat all the other brachas would create a zilzal. In other words, it's not that they're coming in. The question was, what do you need to say anything? Just say that suffix bracha should be lahakil anyway. So saying, you're right, suffik brachas should be lahakal in general. But in this inyan of suffik, of Yom Tov Sheni, they made a separate takana to make all these brachas. So now the Rif is just explaining why this bracha, they didn't apply the general idea of making the brachas again on. So he's saying, since they made that whole idea, they instituted the whole idea of making the brachos again on the Yom Tov Sheni because of the Zilzal of Shmini, so that very reason tells you not that this bracha should be left untouched. This bracha should be left in its natural form. Now, so Zilzal is driving everything, he's saying. Zilzal is why they made all of the brachos the second time, and Zilzal is why they left this one in its the way it should be normally. Okay, one more thing. Let's do one more thing. Wow, it's late. One more thing. Anybody understand his final question? Because he leaves out like the essential piece.
On the Yom Tov Rishon
HaSheni. The question now is, so what about the second night of Pesach? Right? We'll just mention the question, we'll finish up tomorrow. What about the second night of Pesach? And now he's coming back to our day and age again, right? Now he's clearly speaking about our time. So we know for sure the first Seder is the Seder. That we know for sure. Right? The second Seder we keep because of the Minog. Right? But even in Minog, we can't be mezalzel in the Kedusha of Minog. Right? Otherwise we wouldn't make any brachos on the second days. So, but there's one stark zilzel that occurs on the second night. What is it? There's one clear statement that this is not the first night of Pesach. Now, there's one thing we do at the second night that indicates 100% without a doubt that it's not really,
sphere.
That it is really, Sphere HaOmer. That's his question. How could we count Sphere HaOmer on the second night of Pesach? You finish the Seder, you come to the Seder, and you count Sphere HaOmer. You only count Sfiras Omer on the second day of Pesach. So by counting Sfira, you're saying it's second day. And then you say, oh, let's start the Seder. Right? How come saying Sfira is not a zilzal of the Safek Kedusha, of the Kedushas Yom Rishon that we're knowing? Okay, so look that over. Now you know what the question is. It's funny, he leaves that line out. In the footnote, he says, oh, here he's missing a few words, like the main part of the question. But he assumes you know. He assumes you know what it means. Take a look at the Ron. The Ron also has the same question and answer.